it's like we had this little pressure cooker, this little lid put on top of us while we were sitting in COVID going, when are we going to see each other again? And when will I get to dance with you in the real world? And the lid just got let off.
Hi, I'm Matt Penny, coming to you from the Blue Room Theatre's Winter Nights 2020. Discourse is at the heart of Winter Nights, and since we can't all gather at the venue to have discussions, we're bringing you a weekly podcast throughout August to hear about different areas of arts practice. These conversations are taking place on the lands of the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, and we pay respect to their elders past, present and future. We acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contributions they make to the arts and to the life of this city. Today, we will be treated to a conversation between Bernadette Lewis and Daisy Sanders titled Dancing with Everything. Bernie and Daisy will be talking about what dancing is and who can dance. Winter Nights is proudly presented with the support of the Mindaroo Foundation and the conversation's partner, the City of Perth.
My name's Bernadette Lewis and I'm a Perth-based dance artist.
My name is Daisy Sanders and I love dancing and I work as an artist in Perth.
Can you take us back 6 years to when your perspective on dance just radically shifted?
6 years ago, I was here at the Blue Room making my first show. I was first year out of Whopper, really fervently, passionately trying to get life as an independent artist started, a little bit frazzled and overworked in that pursuit. Mental health, not great, to be honest, and I had the flu. And at the end of the flu, I woke up in the middle of the night with what felt like the most insane stomach bug I've ever experienced. Vomiting and diarrhea, fever and chills, got the shakes, kind of endured that for 2 or 3 hours, and pulled myself up on the bathroom bench at the end of it, looked into the mirror, and my face was as white as the bathroom walls behind me. And I thought, something's really not right with my body. Every month, on the first day of the month, for 3 months, that something is not right experience had happened again. The doctor said, okay, you're having this extreme experience on the first day of your period, but you haven't said the word pain, so you mustn't have endometriosis. People with endometriosis say, pain, pain, pain. Side note, maybe dancers have a very high pain threshold, and while I didn't use that word, those symptoms reflected the fact that I was experiencing extreme pain in my pelvis and back and legs. A year later, I did get a diagnosis for endometriosis, and that the condition's only diagnosed through surgery, so I had a laparoscopy at a hospital in Melbourne. Post-surgery, I'm lying in my hospital bed, and again, it's 3 a.m., and I'm really, really awake and I feel fantastic. Having just endured 5.5 hours under anaesthetic, not a really easy thing for a body to go through, but actually I felt like I could run a marathon, make a work of art, just physically, creatively, mentally and emotionally. So, and again, I'm thinking, okay, maybe something's not right. Scrolling my phone, I stumble across an article about dysautonomia, which is dysfunction of the autonomic nervous system. This moment is the beginning of me kind of self-diagnosing the second part of my illness experience as chronic fatigue syndrome, or more formally known as myalgic encephalomyelitis. And I kind of figure that out by both reading and researching and noticing what's happening with my body. First example, I get in the water at the pool just to kind of get moving again to heal, and I go up once and back once in the swimming pool, just moving super gently and enjoying the feeling of the water. I get home, I can't think straight, I can't keep my eyes open, my whole body's aching, my throat's swollen. Another example, one salute to the sun, whoa, flooded with dizziness, need to lie down. One sentence in a book I want to read, can't comprehend what I've just read, can't think straight. And I start basically sleeping 18 to 20 hours a day. So the 4 to 6 hours I'm awake, I'm very shaky and hungry because I haven't eaten, and I have these extreme moments of focus where everything makes sense, but then I crash again and sleep. When I first wake up from sleep, I'm not rested. I feel like I've run a marathon. So definitely a dysfunctional nervous system. At this point, the doctor I see says, "You've moved from Perth to Melbourne. It's winter. It's dark. You need to get out of bed, get a job, and get engaged with life." I was like, I went away from that thinking, no, I didn't come to tell you that I don't want to get out of bed. I came to tell you I want to get out of bed and I can't. I did end up finding health professionals who would believe me and support me. First one worth mentioning is an exercise physiologist focused on movement as recovery. And my first exercise regime, get out of bed, leave, walk out the door, walk to the park, which was two houses down the street, rest on the park bench for as long as it took to feel okay, walk home, get back in bed, do that every day for 2 weeks.
So, and then when did you start to feed in dance, or how did dance become a part of your healing process?
It was a year after my surgery, and it was part of Strange Attractor National Interdisciplinary Arts Lab. And the space I got to work with was a white gallery space. I found a pocket of the gallery and I lay down on the floor and basically moved around whenever I wanted to or could move around, and rested whenever I needed to rest, and wrote about that experience all over the walls. As part of my honours project, it's become a much more detailed way of researching through my body, where I listen to the energy I have. I get more aware of what is going on energetically. I develop skills of deepening rest, focused rest, meditation, also somatic practice through movement, channeling the energy that I have and expanding it, basically dancing with what it is in any moment, dancing with what the illness experience is, dancing with how I am, being very real, never pushing, always kind of supporting myself, basically.
And it's a massive practice for you, right? Mm. So, but can you lead us through maybe just one small little something?
Okay. That,
working with rest?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Okay. So to begin, kind of like we started, just to take a minute to feel gravity holding me.
For our podcast listeners, we're going to be moving around, so join us in whatever way it feels comfortable for you.
And let myself breathe for a sec. Almost imagine thinking and stuff that I don't need evaporating off me. And then just starting to move. I'm just moving in whatever way feels good. So for me right now, that was just move my whole body all at once, just moving around, just moving how I want to move. That's how I start. But it could also be just one tiny little part of the body that's already moving, to just magnify that a little. So, and once I've got a little bit of movement that just feels good, it's just however I want to move, I'll give myself a pleasurable idea. So the idea of oil filling up my whole spine and going through all my joints, and now I'm just moving to actually spread that oil. And the next thing is, yeah, really riding the changing energy in my body. So when I get tired, I can go smaller, but it doesn't have to stop. The ideas and the pleasure and the imagery is one part, but it's really that acceptance of the way your energy is going to come up and down, and it can get super small, and you just, there's no hurry for the bigness to come. It'll come when it comes.
We could do this all day, obviously, yeah. But if we use that to reflect back on what is dancing, mm-hmm. What is dancing, Daisy? Is it getting comfy?
Dancing, well, yeah, getting comfy, noticing what's going on in your body,
mm-hmm.
Moving when you want to move and resting when you want to rest.
Beautiful, love it. Let's fast forward mm-hmm. all the way to March this year. Can you tell us about your experience in isolation?
At some point I said to myself really clearly, like, I've been here before. I've been in this unknown place. I've been at home for hours before. I'll dance with it. Let's dance with it. First of all, just get more present, not get stuck in the thinking and the busyness of the brain, and just like literally tell myself wherever every day, what can I feel? What can I see? What can I hear? What am I tasting? What can I smell? Like, just tell myself to go, hang on, your inner sensory environment, the only thing that exists is right now. Short circuit the overthinking brain and get moving. I accessed a lot of the online dancing online really exploded. But the ones that excited me the most were not the ones where I had to kind of look at a screen and make shapes, but the ones where we were supporting each other to kind of back away from the screen, know we were sharing something, but be having an experience that reminded us that we were bodies in this really strange time of physical isolation. The final thing was really starting to take advantage of the space I did have. Instead of feeling like, oh, I'm confined to this space and it's a limitation, I started to experience it as a place of possibility and find out what more could I dance with in my immediate space, in the space I had.
So let's do that now for each other.
Okay.
So we can change the position that we're sitting in to start with, to get comfy, back to getting comfy first. And then as soon as we change our position, we can notice the texture of what we're sitting on. And we can...
Should we put on a tune?
Oh, that'd be great. I'm just going to get busy with this. Okay. We can go for a walk in our environment first. And we can just see where we are. It doesn't matter if it's home, somewhere that we know really well, or don't know that well at all. And then we can find a place that we want to stand. And we can change that place. And then we can go for a walk to all the places in the room that we definitely that feel like prohibited or not allowed, maybe. Great. And then we can just start to also, as we keep walking around to places we don't normally go to, like continue to experience the texture of our environment. And hopefully you've got lots of different textures. Woo. And then those textures can start to come inside the body. So maybe there's a bit of a firmness to a underneath surface, or a softness, or that can make your...
I'm collecting it like with my hands and also with all the other parts.
Yes, amazing, great. And you still have your eyes. We still have our eyes to see the changing color, the changing texture, the changing light. And you can slow down, and we can just become the shapes in the space very practically. We can just keep bringing in texture, color, and light into our bodies until it asks us to move or invites us to rest while we move. And maybe we can bring in the wind again. And we can always go back to walking in our space, sitting in our space, standing in our space, and basically just enjoying our space. Make our space whatever kind of space we want it to be. Bouncy castle, or the Blue Room bar. Thanks, Blue Room. So it does teach us, though, that dancing is being silly. Dancing is also...
choosing how you move around the space that you have. Make choices.
Moving around and touching stuff.
Yes. So after isolation, I got in the studio with some artists, as soon as I could. The number of people who said, oh, I haven't moved since isolation. I haven't moved at all during isolation. Haven't been touched for 3 months. I was like, well, what have you been doing? Like, you move every day, you touch stuff every day. Like, anyway, so, yeah. I think it's, being playful with your physical surroundings and being practical, being imaginative, actually just enjoying movement no matter how big or small. Great. And no matter where you are.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's just keeps coming back to, it's not how it looks. It's just how it feels.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Just sort of almost like liberating yourself through the body that you are.
Yeah.
Whatever way helps you.
Can you talk a little bit about the project that you started to develop in isolation?
So I'm doing all this sort of exploration with my body. I think what became obviously needed was to continue this sort of process of being present, being more in my environment with other people. Like, it is more fun with other people. And so, as you know, we had organised a project that would be happening in March and April, And so the artists were lined up and there was a bit of money there. I just said, let's do this anyway. Let's discard what we were going to do. Let's meet on Zoom. I'll pay you anyway. And we'll just focus on what is happening right now and what we need. So we'll make this project serve us and our bodies in this moment, in this experience, as it is. The conversations on Zoom were the secondary element to invitations to do things. Examples of that: go and find the windiest spot you can and stand in the wind. As you pass people on the street, even though you're keeping a distance, wave and say hello to everyone you pass. Here's three questions: what was happening before, what's happening now, what will happen later. Answer those three questions on a timer, 2 minutes per question, and then forget about it. Put on a song that feels, that makes you feel like moving, and dance around. Put on a song that makes you feel like singing, and sing. And the thing is that you have permission to do those things, but by doing it as part of the project, it kind of almost validated and celebrated it. We also progressed to simultaneous sharing and doing things at the same time. So we all would all set out at night for a walk in the streets from our respective homes in respective suburbs, and we all knew we were walking, having a walk at the same time. And we had a WhatsApp group, and we'd just send little sort of poetic response to the space, the experience we're having, so maybe some video or photos if that felt right. So it was this sense of kind of together, not together. You were one of the artists in this, and I just want to flip it around and ask you, what did all of doing that give us?
If we particularly look at it through the lens of we were forced into a different way of working, almost all of us felt quite uncomfortable about that and really grieving the loss of being together and all the things that had to change and finding that very difficult, as well as being in a context of nobody knows what's going on right now. This was sort of peak COVID when we didn't know what was happening. But now we can look back on it and go, oh, well, actually, we started with four professional dance artists, two sound artists and two theatre artists.
Physical theatre,
yep. Yeah, some of which had never met before, still maybe haven't met in real life yet, actually. And so it enabled us this wonderful way of going radical sort of equality across all these disciplines, that it wasn't about the fact that I'm the professional dancer, so I do the moving, and I feel uncomfortable about talking, writing, drawing. There was none of that. It was everybody does everything and you just do it as you are. So it feels like a radical way of working with interdisciplinary stuff that just sort of removed that as a label, actually. The invitations make me feel like there was this enormous sense of agency as an artist in someone else's project, where I felt like I was given more permission to be choosing, be deciding, be making, rather than making towards someone else's vision and trying to get that right or not.
Since, you know, last week we gathered in the studio three times.
It's like we had this little pressure cooker, this little lid put on top of us while we were sitting in COVID going, when are we going to see each other again? And when will I get to dance with you in the real world? And the lid just got let off. And so we had all this information. We have this shared language, this shared way of working, a shared energy. And everyone is just so excited about being in the room. And it's like we've done the research now. Mm. We've just gotten going.
Well, we started with what is dancing and who can do it? And dancing as everything. So,
conclusion? I think that the moment when we're able to deconstruct or remove our perspective on this idolized body, this physical need for what dance looks like.
Yep, shapes and...
Yeah, and an athleticism, yep. High legs, big jumps, that once we get rid of that, dancing is not about what you're doing, it's about how you're doing it. Mm. And therefore, everybody can do it and is doing it.
Mm. What gets suggested to us in this situation is that we can't move the way we normally would. We lose movement. We lose touch because social distancing. We lose our access to community and to that shared space. But I guess what I'm suggesting is if you reimagine what dancing is and you kind of, in some of the ways we've suggested, like movement and touch and community is available to us. It's kind of with us all the time, immediately available, and it's what we can, and we can kind of cultivate it in the face of the the very real challenges of now, I guess. So movement, touch and community, that's what dancing is.
Well, that's fantastic. A real insight into who can dance and why we should all dance, I think. I'm going to go home. But I'm going to dance when no one's watching.
Should we dance to the end of the...
Yeah. Thanks so much, and we'll leave it with you to dance us out.
Yay!
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Blue
Thank
Room.
You. Thank you, Blue
thank
Room.
Thank you, Annika Moses, for this beautiful track that we've been using.
Yeah, composed during the distance project.
Right. Yay.
Pin it up.